We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five.
I met my BM when I was 9. I had a hunch back then, but I took my time. Told them Trump was gonna win, they said you lying. I seen a whole bunch of signs, I didn't sign. I told you empty your pockets before you took my charger. I told you they wasn't solid before you took them charges. Trademark the 3 and then market to moms at supermarkets. Taraji P said don't leave after I won the best new artist.
Tonight's rundown, Leaving Neverland, Kanye West, R. Kelly, Jaden Smith, and we got a little Hillary Clinton news. The racist segment is back tonight. Welcome to another edition of Bro Talk Live, the best show on the internet for you by us. Bro Talk, always on the mark. It's your man, Jason. Let's kick it over to my man, Ty. What up, bro?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good? All right. Bill, how are you, sir?
I wasn't expecting that. I'm sorry.
I'm in the land of the living. Wow.
All right, great. Dex, how are you?
Dexter is amazing as usual. Sound quality on the beam.
All right, let's kick it to the first topic. We got a lot of show to get to, and we're going to get there. Leaving Neverland, a very big story on this past week. It was an HBO special. groomed, but that's not the appropriate word to use here. Groomed especially for HBO. So here's the situation. The whole documentary is based on two people, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who alleged they were sexually abused by Michael Jackson during separate sleepovers inside of his palatial Neverland ranch. They claimed that the abuse went on for several years in the early 1990s and that they were sworn to secrecy. They were not paid by HBO for their participation in the documentary. So that's just a preface for what we're going to get into now. Wade's story goes as such. He met Michael Jackson backstage at a concert. He was invited to Neverland Ranch, where he says Michael then performed oral sex on him and then put his tongue in his mouth. Michael reportedly said, "This is how we show our love." James Safechuck met Michael Jackson when he filmed a Pepsi commercial with him back in 1986. They had sleepovers at Neverland, which allegedly turned into graphic sexual encounters. He says that Michael initially showed him how to masturbate at age 10. More details going based off of that 4-hour journey that was the Leaving Neverland documentary. Wade continued by saying that Michael Jackson had intercourse with him in 1994 when he was 14 years old. But despite the claims of abuse, they stayed good friends until his death in 2009. They last met in 2008 when Michael Jackson showed up at his house, basically, and brought his kids with him and drank a big glass of wine, he says, went up to the bedroom and fell asleep. No one felt that odd except for him. And he just knew then that Michael wasn't in a good space. Of course, he passed very soon after that. Safechuck, for his part, alleges that Michael gave him a ring, basically a wedding ring, diamond encrusted, and held a mock wedding where they were wed, with Michael telling him that he was going to be involved in public relationships with women, but that, quote, they wouldn't mean anything. He also claims that Michael would hold emergency drills in hotels to mimic someone walking in on them. Some additional details. Both men previously testified under oath that Michael did not touch them back in 1993. Wade Robson even went to testify on Michael's behalf in the 2005 sexual assault case in which he was acquitted. And the Jackson family currently has a lawsuit against HBO for $100 million after calling the documentary one-sided. Speaking of the family, a lot of people had things to say, including Jermaine Jackson. He says so many in media, including Oprah, blindly taking Leaving Neverland at face value, shaping a narrative uninterested in facts, proof, and credibility. We faced similar graphic claims in trial by media in 2005. The jury saw through it all. Trial by law proved Michael's innocence long ago. Fact. They also said that they couldn't believe that, you know, these masters of deceptions would sit here and try to make a dubious claim against Michael Jackson in these documentaries and their official statements. There were a lot of reactions on social media and the such. Corey Feldman, who was also a friend during that time of Michael Jackson's, said, "Okay, I watched it all and I know what I experienced. And yes, every experience was the same, right up to the sex part. That's where it becomes La La Land instead of Neverland for me. We never spoke about sex other than a few warnings about how sex was scary and dangerous." A lot of people came to Corey and said, "Yo, just because he didn't, rape you doesn't mean that he wasn't a rapist. Michael Rapaport, who has quite the love-hate relationship with the hip-hop community. No parent will let their kids have sleepover with a regular grown-ass man. No grown-ass man will want a little kid to sleep over for days at a time unless you're a nasty MF. And Oprah's magazine took this stance, just as Oprah did, by having a little Q&A session, I would say, after the documentary aired with the alleged victims. Her magazine posted, "It's time to say goodbye to Michael Jackson one last time." Guys, how do you feel about the Leaving Neverland documentary, if you believe it or not, and if this should have an effect on Michael Jackson's legacy going forward? What do you guys think?
It's interesting to me that these same people testified under oath that Michael Jackson didn't do anything, and then they sued Michael Jackson or something like that, and then lost after he passed away. And now that he's, dead and can't defend himself, everybody's got something to say. I don't believe it.
So when I first heard about the documentary, I don't really understand the purpose of it, because like Will said, like Michael Jackson, he's no longer here to defend himself. So like, what's the purpose of this? And then, the documentary aired, and today, I started to see reactions for it. And I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to dig this guy up and retrial him? Like, what's happening here? And then I'm like, oh, now my perspective has changed, because I see people talking about it. And I saw so many people today saying there will be no slander tolerated against Michael Jackson. Like, he didn't do it. These kids are lying. This, that, and the third. Oh, these boys are lying. So forth and so on. Where were the parents? And then it hit me that this isn't about Michael Jackson. This is about kids. And it's these kids are seeing that their parents are on Facebook and they're on social media and they're in front of your face and they're defending Michael Jackson. And that's just like defending your uncle, defending that woman across the street, defending the pastor at the church. Like, people are being abused. And I think that if we continue to look at these public figures that we idolize and we're like, they didn't do it. There are people that are in our families that are suffering in silence. And we really should be careful with that when we're throwing our opinions out there, because there are legit people suffering with this stuff, and we are legit turning a blind eye to a lot of them just because we want to defend the Michael Jacksons of the world.
Ty, does this affect the way that you see Michael Jackson going forward? Is this something that's going to make you not listen to his music? Kind of hard.
It's hard to say. I don't really get around to listening to a lot of Michael Jackson these days, just because I don't, so it's not like anything would change there. But I don't know. It's really strange. Like, these things came out before. It's not like people aren't aware that these allegations were out there. Michael Jackson did have a pretty vigorous trial back then, but just like R. Kelly, people have gotten acquitted for things that they have done. So what do they want us to do with this information? That's the question, because Michael Jackson is dead. We're not really able to hear his response to it. So the only thing you can really do is either say, no, I don't believe the story, and defend Michael Jackson and keep going, or saying, yes, I do, and kind of distance yourself from him. I mean, those are your only two options, because it's not like you're going to get to the bottom of it, or it's not like you're going to get to the truth of the matter, because there is no ability to try this at this time.
Do you think that public perception is going to end up I'm not saying erase R. Kelly, but erase Michael Jackson. It's going to be kind of hard since he was so ingrained with our culture. Yeah,
it's really weird. It's so much easier for people to erase R. Kelly since you brought it up, because he's always seemed a bit of a creep. But people have accepted that there's a possibility that Michael Jackson had done these things, but kind of glossed over it. So the difference is that he's not alive to be able to, defend himself. So I would rather, there's nothing I can do but hash out. I actually didn't see the documentary. I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Did anyone else watch it?
I did not see it.
I didn't want to look at it, because I knew that Michael Jackson, something wasn't right with him back in the day when we saw the Martin Bashir documentary. With that alone, I'm just I don't need any more evidence. He's trash. He's been trash. And I was never a big fan of like Michael Jackson. I remember, like, to be honest with you, I didn't even know much about him until he died. And then I started to be like, oh, that was him, or he did do that. Okay, like, I get it now. So I was never really attached to Michael Jackson or his music. I don't hate the stuff. I like the stuff. And even now, if I hear it, I'm not going to get up out of the room and walk away or be like, I can't listen to this. But like, I've never really connected him with the music. And I know a lot that we talk about on this show is like separating the person from the art. And I think with certain people like Bill Cosby and R. Kelly, for me, that was a little difficult because I paid attention to the art and the person. But with Michael Jackson, it was always separate from it.
How do you feel about the people who are saying that we don't have a document? We have documentaries about R. Kelly. We have documentaries coming up about Bill Cosby. And we have documentaries about Michael Jackson. Where's the documentary about Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer and people like that? How do you feel about people who say that? And it's kind of like, it seems like only the black artists are being the ones that are called out for this type of behavior.
I don't know if it's a black or white thing. I think that people like Michael Jackson and R. Kelly, who are larger than life, they would need something like that. I hate to be the one to be like, oh, well, it's not about race. But I mean, it might be about race. I'm not saying that it's not. But those people are larger than life. Like, so you can't compare Michael Jackson and R. Kelly to Harvey Weinstein. And like, nobody cares about that guy. And nobody cares about Matt Lauer as much as, like, I don't think those characters are larger than life the way the other ones are. So like, as soon as the stuff came out about them, that, I mean, I guess as soon as it became public, they were taken down. But like, people like Michael Jackson and people like R. Kelly have lived years
on like the high life
allegations. Like, I'm talking 20 years with these allegations being very much public.
And also, I think is that like the difference between those situations that R. Kelly and Michael Jackson are against children. You know, like these are crimes that were committed against kids versus the other one that were others that were committed against women. And not saying that one ranks higher than the other one, but these kids couldn't defend themselves in a lot of these situations.
Right. Okay. Speaking of R. Kelly, has an update for us. He spoke to Gayle King. The interview is going to air on Wednesday. I guess when you listen to the podcast, the interview would have already aired. But this is what we have from it so far. So take a listen to what R. Kelly said to Gayle King.
You with underage girls. Do you still sit here and say you have never been with underage girls? Can you really say that?
I sit here and say this. I had two cases back then that I said in the beginning of the interview that I would not talk about because of my ongoing case now.
Okay.
Fair enough. But
okay.
I will tell you this. People are going back to my past. Okay. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going back to the past and they're trying to add all of this stuff now to that, to make all of the stuff that's going on now feels real to people.
But the past is relevant with you with underage girls.
Absolutely. No, it's not.
Why?
Because for one, I beat my case. When you beat something, you beat it.
You were acquitted.
We can't double jeopardy me like that. You can't. It's not fair. It's not fair to nobody. When you beat your case, you beat your case.
But I'm not talking about the one case in which you were acquitted. I'm talking about the other cases where women have come forward and said, R. Kelly had sex with me when I was under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. R. Kelly was abusive to me emotionally and physically and verbally.
Okay.
R. Kelly took me in a black room where unspeakable things happened. This is what they're saying about you. These aren't old rumors.
Not true. Whether they're old rumors, new rumors,
why would they say this about you?
Not true.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that you have never held anybody against their will.
I don't need to. That, why would I?
Well, I'm
how stupid would never it be held for R. Kelly with all I've been through in my way, way past to hold somebody, let alone 4, 5, 6, 50, you said. What? How stupid would I be to do that?
I didn't say you
were
holding.
That's stupid, guys.
I didn't.
Is this camera on me?
Yes.
That's stupid. Use your common sense. Don't forget the blogs. Forget how you feel about me. Hate me if you want to. Love me if you want. But just use your common sense. How stupid would it be for me to, with my crazy past and what I've been through, right now I just think I need to be a monster and hold girls against their will, chain them up in my basement and don't let them eat and don't let them out unless they need some shoes down the street from their uncle.
Robert,
stop it. Y'all quit playing. Quit playing.
Robert.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life.
More details tomorrow. Do you believe him?
I didn't get that last line, but it's a weird that for some reason he reminded me a lot of Andrew Caldwell in that video. I guess it's the way that he pronounced some of the words. But no, I don't believe R. Kelly. I'm sorry. No.
Was it kind of reminiscent of what Jesse said when he said, "Why would I do this?"
Yeah.
I thought so.
Definitely. It was the way Gayle King interviewed him. Like, she was not objective at all. Like, she seemed very much like she didn't believe him. Like, isn't like the rule that you're supposed to like be super objective?
No, there's no rule. It's just standard.
I just think it's one of those things that she's seen, like like this new lazy journalism that happens these days. It's like you see like the Instagram and Twitter posts of like how people say you need to call them out. Do the she's trying to do that. So like later on down the line, people can like talk about her like she's like a martyr and say that she did like so well and stuff like that. That's what
to her point, people are criticizing Robin Roberts for not being this hard on Jussie. So I think she saw that, and she saw the reaction that Robin Roberts got after they found out that Jussie Smollett was lying. And now they're trying to say, Robin, you were too soft. So I feel like that's why she's going super hard.
Okay. I mean, I guess,
because she's like, oh, we're supposed to believe. I'm like, oh,
she was like way too aggressive with it. And then at one point when he gets up screaming and yelling, she's sitting there as if like, next. I just feel like if you're interviewing, for me, like if I'm interviewing somebody and they get up and they're like irrational and stuff like that, I'm like, calm down and sit down and let's finish this conversation. Because like I care about the subject that we're talking about. Like I want to get this out. And if you're getting up and crying and yelling and stuff like that, then we're not having a conversation. So I'll wait until you're ready to have that conversation with me. Sit back down so we can keep going. Now, R. Kelly said, do we think he's stupid? Now, for doing all this stuff or whatever, you are sitting on the hot seat, literally on the hot seat. You're in the studio, millions of lights are around you, and I know you're sweating bullets, and you have a freshly dyed Beijing hairstyle in your head. Like, I know you had no type of regard.
You think that was painted on?
Yes, because I just saw his mugshot last week, and it wasn't that dark. So you literally are sitting there, and at any moment, something could drip from the top of your head. Like, trust me, I know. So it's like one of those things, like, that is that. Now, that's stupid. So if you are willing to do that, you're willing to let those girls sit in that closet or whatever. And also, where did he come from with to go get the shoes down the street from the... What are you talking about?
I have no idea where that came from.
That was
details. He was telling.
He
was telling?
Those details are yet to come forth. We'll notice that a little later in the court case.
Is the counsel going to come reveal that?
Like, ain't nobody say nothing about going down the street with no shoes or no uncle, because we have no idea what you're talking about. So that's how you know you're lying, because you just reveal information that nobody even knows and nobody has no idea what you're talking about. So very obviously, that's exactly what you did, was allow them to go see their uncle and say, I dare you not to come back. Like, that's what happened.
That's what he sent them down the street for some shoes. That's
what?
No, well, Gayle asked him, the first question that Gayle asked him was, have you ever done this with underage girls?
He didn't give a yes or no.
He never gave a yes or no, ever.
He said, look, I had two situations.
And I beat him. I beat the case. That's what he said.
Double Jeopardy to me.
That's not even what double jeopardy means. Like, I don't
understand. My man beat the case.
He must think once you beat a case for one crime, you can just do that crime as long as you want without being convicted again. Like, he just think he can go on just do whatever he wants.
Beat the case and do the race.
Speaking of doing whatever they want, Kanye West cannot do whatever he wants according to his contract with EMI. He is contractually barred from retiring. This is what it says in his contract. You, Mr. West, hereby represent and warrant that to EMI that you will, throughout the term as extended by this modification, remain actively involved with writing, recording, and producing compositions and major label albums as your principal occupation. At no time during the term will you seek to retire as a songwriter, recording artist, or producer, or take any extended hiatus during which you are not actively pursuing your musical career in the same basic manner as you have pursued such career to date. So basically, this goes on indefinitely. There was no end date for this contract. So basically, Kanye is contractually obligated to keep working until he dies. He is seeking to obtain his freedom from his contracts. And the basis for doing so, he's citing a labor code which limits personal service contracts to no more than 7 years. Now, according to the court papers, he's been laboring on this contract since 2003. And when she signed a lopsided deal for a college dropout. Now, the deal obligated him to deliver a minimum number of new songs good enough to be released by a major label. That's according to a report by the Hollywood Reporter. The 7 years that they're talking about would have ended on October 1st, 2010. For more than 8 years thereafter, more than double the maximum 7 year period, EMI has enforced rights in violation of the California law, depriving Kanye of the breathing period that the California law mandates. That's according to his filed complaint. Kanye also, his lawsuit seeks to end enforcement of their rights and gives ownership to Kanye over his publishing and compensates him retroactively for all money that he's earned as a result of this contract. So he's trying to get paid on top of that. Guys, do you think Kanye has a chance to win this, or will he be slaving away for the remainder of his days on this contract?
Now he has a big chance of winning. Yeah, man.
I'm going to go ahead and say he said what he said, and I'm going to say slavery was a choice, and you chose.
You chose. Nasty.
You made the choice.
Bill, Dex, do you think that he should be released from his contract?
Yes, I got to tell you, I don't really know much about the story. For you guys that are watching the podcast, I'm sorry about this. I mean, listen to the podcast, I'm sorry. Jason, the whole time you were talking, I couldn't stop looking at Kanye West's hair. Like, this man dyes his hair on a consistent basis. His kids.
That's his new thing.
Finger paint in his head on a daily basis. Like,
well, apparently that's the new craze. Like, this whole painted on hairstyle look. That's going to be what the kids are rocking this summer, apparently.
Literally. As long as he's working in perpetuity for EMI, he can do what he wants.
They don't care what color his hair is.
Oh, is that why he's so damn crazy?
He got no hair. Work.
He's in like slave contract. That's why he's like acting like an insane person all the time.
And I don't understand, why would you actually like, what would make you sign that contract?
This makes sense now, because Kanye was possibly trying to act like such a damn fool that get himself canceled, that these people are like, oh, listen, we don't want nothing to do with Kanye. And they refused. They stuck with his ass. And he thought that he was going to get out of that contract. And they were like, no. So now he's going this route, which he should have done 8 years ago.
Furthermore, EMI is trying to get it removed from California jurisdiction. And they're trying to get it as a federal case where they would actually win. So Kanye, enjoy picking that cotton, brother.
I mean, I think this is the windfall of money that he's been looking for. Remember, he was broke for a while and he was looking for a way to make money. I feel like outside of borrowing it from Kylie, this should be the best way. You know what I'm saying?
No. What he needs to do is adhere to that contract and work, and maybe he'll get some money.
All right. Speaking of Kylie, our next topic is Jaden Smith. Remember when Jaden and Kylie used to date? Remember when those two were like a thing and they used to take pictures together?
Say that they used to date, but we know.
And they were holding hands. Remember all that?
Sure they they were.
Did we post this picture of Bro Talk originally? Like, when
I'm sure. Broke?
I feel like we covered it many moons ago.
But when we covered it, we didn't say that they were dating. They were friends.
They're both still doing very well in their lives separately. Jaden right now is being the one who's going to seemingly fix the Flint water crisis.
I'm so glad bringing the Kardashian Kool-Aid.
He's bringing clean water to Flint with his mobile lead filtration system. He has a company called Just Water, and he has a system called the Water Box, and it filters out lead and additional contaminants in water. The Water Box will produce 10 gallons of clean drinking water per minute. The water is tested each day with use, as well as every few weeks by an independent and certified lab. Residents will be able to fill any container of their choice with the clean water. The filtration device will be available through the church that they're setting it up with set distribution times. Jaden said, this has been one of the most rewarding and educational experiences for me personally, working together with people in the community experiencing problems and designing something to help them has been a journey I will never forget. We are planning to deploy more water boxes in Flint and other communities facing similar challenges. So shout out to Jaden Smith for doing that. Kylie, for her part, is now the world's youngest billionaire. A lot of people are trying to say she's self-made and all this stuff. Regardless, the money's in the bank account because she is the youngest person to be a billionaire on the Forbes list. Forbes has credited her billionaire status to the success of her company, Kylie Cosmetics, which she founded in 2015. So in 4 years, 3 years, she's made $1 billion.
I need to find out which one of my sisters want to sell a sex video so that we can get rich.
She's also launched makeup collaborations with Chloe and Kim. Kim's net worth is $350 million. But get this, in 2018, Kylie Cosmetics raked in $360 million. So she eclipsed Kim's net worth in 1 year. The company is said to be worth at least $900 million, with Kylie owning 100% stake in the company. Guys, what's more impressive? Who are you more impressed with? Jaden for bringing clean water to Flint, or Kylie for being the first and the youngest billionaire of the Kardashian clan?
Jaden, I could not care less about the Kardashians. I'm so sick of them.
Oh, Jenner clan. I would
Thanos them right out of here.
It's weird though, because like both of these crisis situations were either started or could have been solved with a little bit of oral sex. So when I think about Kylie, this whole situation was started because Kim did what she had to do, you know? But then with Jaden, like this Flint water crisis, if Andy King of the Firefest fame, if he would have got his hands on, you know, the right people, Flint would have water at this point. So neither one of them. I just want Andy King to come out and do what he has to do.
I can't.
And if he has young kids, then they can eclipse Kylie too. So, like, you could win everything here.
Ty, you have any follow-ups for that one?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted. I apologize.
Do you think Kylie or Jaden's more impressive?
I think they're both pretty impressive, but I'm more in tune with what Jaden is doing. I mean, I don't know anything about becoming a billionaire, so and no one's buying any lip kits from me. I guess it's kind of cool. I mean, people say, "Oh, it's because she's this and she's that." I'm like, I mean, there are people who've done what they've done and that did not become billionaires. So obviously, she has something going on there that other people are missing.
Yeah, there are people that suck the life out of every black man they met.
Oh my!
Discarded God. Them and moved
people
on.
People screw black men every day and don't get a dime. So
that's because they got the broke ones. They going over to California and get some of the ones they got. They probably do the same thing.
You think Tyga's like thinking back on like what could have been between him and Kylie?
No, he's looking at Lamar Odom, thanking God he got up out of there.
No, and Jaden Smith too. Remember when Jaden was running around with the Kardashians with that Batman, that Batman costume on at Kim's wedding?
Look, $1 billion is $1 billion.
And I'm not in on it. Go for it, girl.
If he would have had a baby with Kylie, you know, Tyga would have had some money too. So that's more than what I got.
Who is her baby with?
Kylie don't have a baby.
Oh, she does.
Oh yeah, with Travis Scott. My bad. Yeah.
Oh.
Why did I get annoyed? I just got really frustrated with y'all did just now.
That's how you are. That's what you are. Hillary news. Hillary. Guys, are you ready?
You really are scraping the bottom of the barrel for people tonight. First Kanye, now Hillary. First Kanye, then Kylie, not Hillary.
Wow. Hillary has an announcement to make, guys. Hillary has an announcement.
Well, she certainly hinted at the answer before. For the first time on camera, Clinton officially put all rumors to rest and closed the door on a third White House run.
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe.
Not running, she says, but still fighting on behalf of the 65 million plus Americans who voted for her in the last presidential election.
I want to be sure that people understand. I'm going to keep speaking out. I'm not going anywhere. What's at stake in our country? The kinds of things that are happening right now are deeply troubling to me. We've gotten not just polarized, we've gotten into really opposing camps, unlike anything I've ever seen in my adult life.
Clinton vowing to take an active role in 2020, holding private Hillary's meetings out. With many.
Guys, are you happy that Hillary's out?
Crooked Hillary, folks. Crooked Hillary.
I'm surprised she bailed out.
Am I fake? Wait, like, Because when Hillary, when there was rumors that she was going to run, I'm like, don't be ridiculous. Like, you know, if you run again, I'm voting for Donald Trump. Like, you can't do this, so forth and so on. But now that she's actually saying that she's out, like, I'm like low-key annoyed because I liked making those jokes. I thought it was funny to say stuff like the, now we can't make the joke anymore. Sheesh, that woman lets me down at any opportunity that she can. She's legit, like, trash. Like, you just don't care about me.
So you wanted, so you didn't want her to run, but now she's not.
I didn't
not
want running. Her to run, but like I wanted the jokes to last a little bit longer. Like I didn't want you to just drop out this soon.
Right, we didn't even get to a primary yet.
Like there was no it joke, like
town hall. It wasn't a nothing.
Because she's tired of y'all making fun of her. That's what it is.
I see.
Y'all need to be nice. I want to be able to at least her one time say lock her up.
So nasty. So rude. Ty, are you happy to see Hillary go? Are you going to be voting? Or maybe Bernie in the next election. Well, I guess we have more on that later.
He next got to go now.
We got to find out who's decided. For whom I'm casting my vote, I just need to do a little research to see what's going on. And if it's Bernie, it's Bernie, but I doubt it.
It's probably be Trump. All right, time for racist.
Because it sure ain't going to be Pocahontas.
Don't. We're not doing that, guys. We're not calling that lady. She's apologized.
We are not calling her. That was so rude.
Sacramento police have decided they are not. Well, they haven't decided. The attorney general has decided that they will not be prosecuted for fatally shooting Stephon Clark. Stephon was shot in Sacramento last year on the back porch of his grandmother's house after cops say that he pointed a gun at him. Of course, he didn't have a gun. All he had was a cell phone. Well, this is what the attorney general said. The law requires that we judge the reasonableness of an officer's actions based upon the circumstances confronting them at that moment of time. The two officers honestly, without hesitation, believed he had a gun. So there were protests about the ruling of the attorney general. And the police arrested a lot of people. Last year when people protest, only a handful of arrests were made. But this time about 84 people were arrested. The difference this time is that last time it was in downtown Sacramento. This time they protested in a wealthier, predominantly white part of the city. One of the founder of Sacramento's Black Lives Matters chapter says, we've had protests in other neighborhoods and this kind of response has not happened. It proves everything that our DA has said, everything our chief has said, and everything our mayor has said was all words. They said shortly after the police for their part say shortly after we started monitoring the group, at 7:30, we established that the group was unlawfully assembling by standing in the street. We also received information that multiple vehicles in the area were vandalized. And that's why they decided to arrest 84 people, because a few cars allegedly, reportedly got keyed. Guys, do you think the arrests of all these people who were protesting was racially motivated at all? Or do you think the cops were just trying to get the situation under control? Bill, what say ye?
I don't know why when these things happen, we are surprised. We literally live in a country that was founded with the intent of making African-Americans property. Like it boggles my mind that people are surprised when this thing, like when things like this happen. Number one,
it's 300 years later, like we should be past this.
We should be, but we're not, because this is what the country was founded with the principle of. Like, this was its purpose. It was no religious freedom. It was the basis of making Black people a subgroup and property. And to tell me that these police officers honestly thought that they had gun, that boy had a gun, that's a lie. Police officers are trained to know what a gun is. They carry guns every single day. I'm telling you, from somebody that carried a gun for 3 months, you don't accidentally think somebody has a gun. You know the difference between a gun and a cell phone. They knew he had a cell phone. They chose to shoot him anyway. The United Nations has decided that African-American males in this country are freaking endangered species, and America will not do anything about it unless you're a white Christian or a white Jew. Then America cares about you. Until then, we're just property, and it does not matter to them. So there's no need to be surprised.
Notice, really quickly, notice that the conversation, and Jesse, can you DA slide with the DA.
Why would you hold up? I saw you sneak away.
Notice that the conversation has switched from the conversation was all about where the only thing we're talking about is the arrest at the protest, and we're not talking about the fact that the DA looks like Andy Dick with a wig on. Like, nobody's talking about that, and that needs to be addressed.
I saw you over there sniggling. I was wondering why you were sniggling.
I said, why did she look so familiar? That is Andy Dick with a wig on. Like, we need to do something about
this. I can't.
Ty, do you have anything to say about the story, or can we move?
No, I'm looking for that.
All right, that was racist. Time for Q&A. Bill, new host of Q&A.
It is now time for the section of the show where you Q and we A. It's question and answer. Let us take a gander at this week's questions.
Amen, amen, amen.
Question number one, my man is a bisexual. Help.
Damn.
Question number two, out of sight, out of mind. Question number three, running with no clothes on. Question number four, indecent proposal. Guys, which two are we doing today?
Do you have any recommendations for the panel?
Definitely question number one.
All right.
And number four seems interesting.
All right. Let's do one and four.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. Question number one. There we go.
And here we are. I've been seeing this great guy for more than 6 months. He's smart, caring, and attractive. He is the kind of man I want to marry someday. When things started getting serious between us, he came out to me as bisexual. We had a long conversation in which he told me he's had several long-term relationships with other men. I ended up questioning his fidelity with me. He explained to me being bisexual doesn't make him less faithful than straight people.
All right.
He told me I was being hypocritical because I've broken up with guys in the past who were insecure that I had more sexual partners than them. In the end, I told him I could never be in a serious relationship with a bisexual man. I know I'm clearly in the wrong here, and I would be letting a great guy slip away. But I just can't get over being with a man who has also been in intimate relationships with other men. Is there a way I can overcome this feeling?
Probably not.
To your progress, it's never going to happen. Like, you're never going to be comfortable with this man.
Can we move to question number four, please?
I don't think if you're comfortable there, you're never going to be comfortable.
So, like, just let it go. Like, the relationship is over.
Right. Yeah, if you're not comfortable yet, you're not going to be comfortable going forward. So I think
it's never
going to
be a thing. There are people out there who this is like their thing, and they don't care. You're not one of them. So move on.
Question number four, please.
Jesus, Dexter.
Literally, we get some stupid questions in, but this is like the stupidest question. Like, you literally are like, I cannot do this. And then you turn around and say, I'm letting a good guy go. You either go, look, you either go, come on. Like,
Bill, do you have any advice for this person who wrote into us?
Viewer, Dexter was also mean to the rest of us today. So, you don't want you to feel like you're singled out.
Got a short fuse.
So
very short, nasty.
To sum up what I think everyone is saying here in a very Thai sort of fashion, it may not work out for you. You're either going to get with it or you're going to get right or you're going to get left. If it's not for you, it ain't for you. Go with whatever floats your boat.
Mm. Go with the flow of the ocean.
Yes, he is.
Oh, come on, Dex.
Number four. I decided to propose to my girlfriend of 3 years on our 3-year anniversary. I flew her to Europe, and after a couple of days traveling, we ended up in Santorini, Greece. After a long day of sightseeing on a boat mostly, we went back to our hotel, and when we were alone together, I proposed and she said yes. We kissed, and I had planned to take her to the beach the next day to celebrate. It's really beautiful. She took a shower, and I laid in bed thinking of what an amazing day I just had and how I would get to spend the rest of my life with the woman I love. Ooh, the women. Should be woman. When she came out of the shower, however, She was in tears. She handed me back the ring, saying she couldn't accept it because she didn't want her memory of my proposal to be in a hotel room. I played it cool and said I understood, but truthfully, it hurt. It seems to me that I had offered her something of value. If she had found $1 million in a dumpster, she wouldn't throw it back because of where it came from. So she can't possibly value me or what I have to offer as an individual if she's willing to reject it because she didn't like the place I asked. I'm preparing to end things when we get back.
Damn.
She wants me to propose again and better, and then she'll say yes, but I'm done. Am I wrong? Should I do it over?
A question. Dex, is this better? Is this a better question?
Now, this is a question. Now, this right here, this is a question. This is what we want right here.
This is like, what we're looking for when we ask you to ask us something.
Right, let me see. Let me dive into this real quick. Because, like, I'm on everybody's side here. Let's explore this thing. I understand where she's coming from because, like, you do want the moment to be special or whatever, but it's like... Look, like, he did it, you know what I mean? And I think it's like he did it, and he did it in a place where he felt comfortable, whatever. I do think if it's possible, maybe you guys should have, like, conversation about, like, what the person likes or whatever. But I think her giving it back to him was wrong on her part. Like, I totally understand, like, you want it to be – maybe she wanted something, like, bigger in front of more people so she can have some good pictures for Instagram.
Maybe. I think that's what it was. She wanted that video.
I get that. But at the same time, though, I think from his perspective – and even hers or whatever, I think this is a communication error right here. So if you guys can't communicate with each other or haven't been communicating all this time in 3 years' time, y'all not going to last forever. So I think you're right. You got to break it off.
Damn.
So in my opinion, like you're saying, oh, if you found $1 million, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, that same logic works for you. So if she says do it again, you really like her, do it again. I do think it was a little corny that you did all this great stuff and you chose the hotel room as the location for the proposal. Like, I do think that was a little bit corny. And I can understand how she would not be impressed with that because you guys were, like, all around the boats and all around doing all this nice stuff. And then you wait till you get back to the hotel room, like, oh, yeah, by the way, will you marry me? Like, sir, we were out on the boat. Like, that would have been a more ideal location in front of, like, the celebrity house in Greece or whatever. That would have been a little bit more interesting. So I do think, I mean, I think you should give it another shot. Like, you need to
try. No. Ain't no other shot.
It was so, like, in my opinion, it was so, like, blah. Because you had a lot of missed opportunities there. And I think the next time you do it, you're going to do it right.
I mean, but he took her to Greece. Like, it's not
exactly.
Like,
I mean, you waited till you got to the hotel room like that.
But still, you're in Greece. Like, he proposed
in Greece in a hotel room.
That counts for something. Proposing to somebody in Greece counts for something.
And that's what?
You think that's what? I mean, it might not have been a Jason proposal. Everyone can have a Jason proposal. But it's better than most.
Is it?
You can't say it's better than most. You can't say that.
A lot of people, they be on a couch in their, literally in their house, and they just roll over. Hey, you want to get married? Yeah, sure. Blah.
You wanted to marry this girl. It's worth marrying her. I think that, I don't know. I think there were a lot of missed opportunities there. And I think if you like her so much and you got money to flying off to Greece for a proposal, I mean, give it another shot.
They went half on the trip.
But now you know she's going to be looking for it. Like, the surprise factor is gone. And that's the best part of proposing to someone.
The point is that I think he missed a good opportunity. Like, why did you wait to
get there? Well, you missed it. It's over. You can't just redo it.
Unless.
How about he proposed to her in the first place? Her little ball-headed scallywag self probably wouldn't get nobody else to propose to her. Hey, he done flewed her out. She was trying to get flewed out all this time. He done flew her out to Greece, and she wanted to be an ingrate.
Did he at least set the stage in a hotel? Because if he did, like, made it nice and, you know, had flowers and all kind of other stuff like that, like, he did it that way, then, and she said no, then it's like, no, you're not getting this again. But if they, like, got back to the whole hotel room, I threw their shit down, we're ready to go to bed, and he was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I know we had an exhausting-ass day, and we're all about to get in the shower and go to bed, maybe have a little something, but do you want to marry me? Like, no, sir, it's not as it works.
Well, you want to wrap it up, Bill? I don't think that he should propose again. I don't necessarily think he should break up. I just think she needs to sit on that ring. If she wants it, she wants it. If she doesn't want it, she doesn't want it. And that's just what it's going to be.
I'm telling you, bro, if you propose to her again, or if you don't break this off with her, like, everything is going to be a reenactment. It's going to be fake. When you guys have kids and you want to record it, she'll be like, no, get my good side. I got to put makeup on. Like the wedding is going to be a mess. The wedding's going to be a mess. Don't do it. Leave it alone. Leave her in Greece and you and your ring hit it back to the States.
Leave her in Greece and leave in peace. That's what I'm saying.
So, gross. Sir, can we get some follow-up information? Were there flowers in this hotel room? Did we have candles? Or, like, did you just get in there, pop them little swans off the bed and hop in and be like, oh, by the way. So, like, can we get some follow-up information?
Your family, if you don't mute.
You know, we can make a decision. little swans.
All right. Time for Jizza Time. Thank you for your service, Bill. We appreciate it. All right. Jizza Time today is a collaboration with me and Dex. I'm going to give Dex credit. Because we came up today with Bro American Idol. You like that? Cute.
A little whistle.
I know that's right.
So the object of this game, we're going to give away golden tickets like they do on American Idol for people who have new interests in life and are going on new adventures. So here's what we got. First up, we have Bow Wow, who has decided to add dancing to his resume/CV.
I'm going to say yes. We're going to give it to Bow Wow because he has the moves.
And so also, should he be a new addition? Should he be in the new addition movie?
It's a no for me, though.
Let's throw him in a new movie. I'm going to say we got to do it for him because he's clearly, for you guys on the podcast, you can't see this, but he's dancing around the house. There's no furniture in the house. Give it to him.
It ain't a
There's like literally only beanbag chairs on the ground.
Yep.
And he got that little plaque sitting on that side like he tried to tell us something.
You know, like the plaque against the wall on the ground. I wonder if he just moved in.
Yeah, he just moved in a year ago. When you don't got a couch, what you need to hang up pictures for?
What Bow Wow used to do back in the day. I say give it to him. Give him a ticket. Let's go.
All right, he's getting the ticket. The Bro American Idol first golden ticket goes to Bow Wow. We will see him in the new edition biopic. Second up, we have Dex's girl Ashanti. She's doing a new Soca song. Get into these vocals. She's doing Soca music now. She has vocals. You saw her pull away that mic. She said, ah!
I want to know before we, and because I already know Dex is giving her the golden ticket, but before he gives her this ticket,
yeah,
if he can tell me what key her and Durag were singing in, that would determine.
She's at the carnival, so she has like a carnival attire. It feels like the best one, but the song is actually pretty good. It's called The Road. I'm going to say, and I love Ashanti, but I'm going to say give her the golden ticket because the R&B charts and the pop charts aren't calling, so maybe Soca is where it's at for you. Let's try that for you. Go ahead.
There's no She's not even in the right key in Soka. No, thank you. It's a that's a hard no for me.
She was sharp, wasn't she? She was a little shoe.
Ooh, that wore me out.
All right, Ty, you're going to make the final ruling again. Take it or no?
I have a lot of respect and admiration for Ashanti and her diligence in continuing after all these years of people disrespecting her talents and abilities. And so I'm going to give her a chance with the golden ticket because Jason, that once
you need to say something, Jason,
she'll be able to correct her mistakes.
How many years later is she still not singing in the right pitch? I think you
I've heard her sing in the right pitch, so I think that she knows how, but sometimes
you've not heard it live. You've only heard it in the studio because they can auto-correct the notes.
That's not true.
You get me one where she sings on in
pitch. There was this one video that was just released and she did quite well on it and everyone was so very impressed with
it. I'll be the judge of that.
Get ready for a new Soca album from Ashanti. We just approved it. All right. Next up, Kanye has a new thing that he's doing. It's called Sunday Service. It's called Sunday Service. It's this thing where he collaborates with this choir that he hired randomly, and they sing all types of songs. So here's a sample. You like that one, Bill? Bill, you like that one, Bill?
Babies are singing. I don't know what homegirl with the feathers was over there doing, but these babies are singing.
That was Northwest. He also was photographed closely with the choir. Here he goes, playing the piano.
Well, you had two Kanye's in there.
Red sample.
All right, so are you here for this new choir venture by Kanye? Are you getting a golden ticket to that?
You know, initially, I was ready to say yes, go for it. Like, I think the songs are, I mean, it's catchy, obviously, and I like it. It's dope.
I mean, it's not his song. But
when you did the Bow Wow thing, you showed one clip of him in an empty place. When you did the Ashanti one, you showed, like, literally the worst clip of the performance. But yet, when you did this one, you decided to show two clips and made sure they were at top quality. No.
Were they at top quality? You think those were at top quality? You couldn't see Kanye.
You stay home in Calabasas. Color your hair. Do that.
He's so nasty. Ty, do you like
songs? I'm with Dexter. Like, I was baffled.
Oh my, are you kidding me? Y'all gave this woman
I'm with Dexter, exactly. I'm like, Kanye, I thought it was very creative. You're definitely getting a ticket. And then Jason put that second video out. I feel like my vote is trying to be like bought.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Just in case you didn't like the first one, here's another one. Like, no, the first one was enough.
Jason, if you don't overrule this one, if you let them to this choir,
I don't have executive power.
In key.
I don't have executive power, but I gave too much. I'm sorry, I gave too much.
Are you kidding me?
I was going to give three. You want to hear the other one? Just
no. We're way out of time.
No, I think it's good. I think you just oversold it.
You said you think it's good as what?
I think it's good. I think you just oversold it.
Yep.
All I did was play
DVD. I'm so sick of y'all.
And the fact that you had three of them lined up, like, that's just not
weird. Y'all. Sick. I'm sick of the two of you. You all don't know anything. Y'all just handing out these golden tickets. Just handing them on out. The way the Oscars just handed on out Oscars. Just hand them on out. Just give them. Just give them.
Jordan Woods is trying to be an actress, and this is her latest audition.
Never was I giving him a lap dance, making out with him, sitting all over him. It's just, we're all together. We're in a group. Never once did we leave the public area, go to a bedroom, go to a bathroom. We're all in plain sight. There was a chair here, a couch, and another chair.
Got it.
It's all filled.
Got it.
So he's sitting in this chair, and there's an arm of the chair that goes up about here.
Okay.
And I'm sitting on the arm of the chair. So you come into the party, and you look, and you see me sitting on the chair. In my head, this is innocent. You know, like, we're all drinking, we're all chilling. There's no way it would look like a lap dance, but I could see why people would say, oh, they're getting cozy.
Mm-hmm. Did you have your arm around him?
No.
Okay.
But my legs were laying right over his.
Got it.
My okay. butt was never sitting on him.
But your legs were.
But my legs were dangling down. So I picked them up and I put them over.
To onto his legs.
Onto the bottom of his legs. Yes.
Onto the bottom of his legs. So there wasn't any like intimate little chuckle, chuckle, giggle, giggle. You in his ear, him in your ear.
I mean, as we all were just dancing and having fun, everyone at the party. So we're in this person's ear, this person, but never anything intimate. On the way out, he did kiss me.
No. And what do you mean by kiss?
It's just no passion, no nothing on the way out. He just kissed me and.
Like a tongue kiss, like a peck on the lips, peck on the, like a.
No, it was like a kiss on the lips, but no tongue kiss, no making out.
Got it.
Nothing. And I don't think that he's wrong either, because I allowed myself to be in that position.
What?
And when alcohol's involved, people make, you know, dumb moves, or people get caught up in the moment, or who knows. And the last thing I wanted to do was be that person. I'm no homewrecker.
Right.
I would never try to hurt someone's home.
Right.
Especially someone that I love.
Right.
And someone who I've seen has a beautiful daughter. I never was trying to steal someone's man. I don't need your situation. Ooh. I really just hurt so many more people by not telling the truth.
All right, guys, Jordan Woods, is she getting a pass for this? Do you think she gets a golden ticket? Is she out of here as far as the criticisms for her Tristan Thompson tryst? Guilty or no?
Yeah, you
get a golden ticket for?
For her acting job, do you think that she pulled
for her acting job?
No, that's terrible. I don't believe her.
You don't believe?
She gave us a good one-liner though when she said, "I don't need your situation." That was good. I like that.
That's a very good one.
I do like that.
That's a word.
Situation.
That's a word right there, Bill. Won't that preach, Bill? I don't need your situation.
I don't need your situation.
I don't listen here. That's a word from on high.
Also, I think Jada had a word too, and she said, "Chuckle, chuckle, giggle, giggle."
There was oil there.
Jada never had sex with Tristan, so you believe her?
They always say they don't believe.
I believe that. I think that's true. I don't think she ever did.
Okay.
All right, here's the thing. The Kardashians have been sucking the life out of Black life.
Can we go?
Deal with it. They'll deal.
Bernie Sanders, they asked him about reparations. Last but not least, are we going to give Bernie Brown? Are we going to give Bernie Sanders a golden ticket to be the Democratic or run in the Democratic Party's nomination?
Now, why does it seem like this week you've been kind of dodging the reparations question? Senator Harris and Senator Warren have both kind of spoken out and said that they agree with some form of reparations.
Well, what the question is, I'm not dodging the question. The question is, what do we mean by reparations? I mean, it seems to be a lot of people mean a lot of different things. To my mind, it means that we have to deal with the fact that there is enormous disparity between the Black community and the white community. And that issue has got to be addressed. And I've indicated to you some of the ways that I think it should be addressed.
Well, I think they mean some type of economic empowerment to the African descendants of slaves.
But what does that mean, economic empowerment? If I just talked about the fact that I would do my best to change the banking system to make sure that we end racism, that we pay attention to distressed communities, that people get the loans they need to make the investments they need.
Yeah. About free cash payouts.
No.
How much you want to agree with that?
Why don't you agree with that?
Well, first of all, you mean just a check to every African-American?
Yes.
Well, then it's a check to every Native American who were nearly wiped out when the settlers first came there. I think the way we go forward is to build America together. There are distressed communities, white communities. There are distressed Latino communities. Right now, what you have is a government owned and controlled by big money interests. The worries about Wall Street and the drug companies, we're going to change that.
All right. Does Bernie have a golden ticket to run for president?
I think I can sum it up for all of us when I say, like, no, we're not going to give him the ticket. Not because we don't like what he's saying, but because we don't want to give Bernie any indication that he's going to get our votes.
Bernie might get my vote. You know what I'm saying?
No, Bernie's absolutely not getting my vote. I'm sure everybody thought it was cool when they made Germany pay reparations to the Jews.
Can we go? Like, can we go?
Bill, what you want? Like, how much of a ticket you want, Bill? How much?
I want something we can use. Don't y'all come over here with them little $2,500 checks. We don't want them. I want something that's good. Listen, y'all wore us out for 300 years. Matter of fact, it's probably been another 100 years. Y'all wore us out for 400 years. Y'all went into our y'all done snatched up Africa, blew off the noses to the Sphinxes, tore down the libraries in Timbuktu, wore Mali out, y'all done ravaged the oil, took up all the diamonds, colonized our daggone land. Like, y'all done wore us out for 400 years. Give the natives and give us something too. And it better be something we can use to level the playing field. We'd have been here struggling at the hands of you people. And now y'all even want to give us what we deserve. I've had enough.
The views and statements of William H. Mayer do not reflect those.
William H. Mayer? You didn't even know me, girl. It's
William C. Mayer.
H? Who is the H for?
Herbert. I don't know, but it seemed like it flowed and I was on a roll, so I wasn't going to stop.
Horatio?
Horatio!
William Horatio Mayer. The fourth.
All right, time for Dexter's BS Report!
Dexter H. Stuckey. All right, I'm going to be very quick because, you know, time-wise. They always take so long doing their stuff.
Just go.
Then it gets to mind and everybody's like, oh, here we go.
Dexter, and you're wasting more time.
That was my fault. Now I'm the bad guy, but y'all let him go on that racist rant for 30 minutes.
Dexter, he's a racist rant because I'm trying to get your little bald-headed tail somebody.
More than $2,500.
All right, here we go.
Something you can use.
All right, here we go. So there's a man, Mark Anthony Jones. He's 46 years old. He was actually walking down the street a regular day, and then his 9mm gun started to slip in between his legs. He reached down and grabbed the gun and accidentally shot himself in the penis. The bullet actually came out through the man's scrotum, and you know, that's not the craziest part about this. He actually wasn't registered. He's not a registered gun holder, so he actually might go to jail for having that gun go off and shoot him. Like, he shouldn't have had that gun on him in the first place. Now he actually might go to jail because he had it.
Hold on, Bill. He not shooting blanks.
he might be shooting blanks now.
He's shooting blanks from going forward.
All right. In Alabama, there was a crazy dispute over crab legs. A man and a woman decided they were reaching out to get those crab legs, and it looked like, you know, like we're the last couple ones. They both wanted to pile them on their plate, and they actually ended up getting to a huge melee over the crab legs. And in the final story, there was a man in Oregon. He had a car. He drove off the road during a snowstorm, and he was stuck for 5 days, and he survived. Him and his dog survived by eating old McDonald's sauces that he had in his car. All right, so guys, what's the truth and what's a lie?
The last one's a lie. It was Taco Bell sauces.
Wait, did that first story happen in Florida?
No, none of these stories are from Florida.
Oh, they're all lies. They're all lies.
But I mean, it was Alabama, though.
Oh, well, that's true. Never mind. Alabama's definitely true. What was that first story?
Throwing that man. That man is probably black. It ain't throwing his tail in jail for shooting himself.
And they should. Those are two truths.
He might have to figure out how to fix his own scrotum himself without the help of the prison system.
So that lie is them couple of days eating up the McDonald's sauces. The McDonald's sauces.
It was Taco Bell sauces, I think.
You guys are correct. It was Taco Bell sauces. An easy way to know that that wasn't true is because McDonald's only going to give you one sauce in it anyway, so you wouldn't survive very long with those. And that has been Dex's BS report for the week.
You would have had to stack them sauces for like 3 years to make it a game.
How dirty are you to have a bunch of Taco Bell sauces just in your glove compartment? Like, I wouldn't have told nobody that.
Hey,
I'd have been like, we ate the ice from the snow. We drank the water around the car.
Seriously.
They probably saw that big ass pile of Taco Bell sauces and asked, what the hell happened to you? All right, time for seats. Ty, the new leader of seats. You passing out seats this week?
Listen, if you're not ready for seats by now, at this point in the show, then you'll never be ready after everything we went through. So this is the time for seats. So I have like a sort of seat thing, and I just want to know if this is a seat. I like to bring my seats from the neighborhood, as you guys know. So I'm in the grocery store, and this lady, she's struggling to reach something on the top shelf. And so being the gentleman I am, I was going to help her, but this other guy, he was like super hyped. Like blocked off my cart
girl.
And tried to help this woman. So like, not only can I not help her, but I also can't get by. And so I'm like super annoyed by that. And he had to be about 4'7". So he was struggling to reach what the lady was trying to get. And he was like, so I'm just going to crawl up. He proceeded to climb up the shelves to reach this thing for this lady. And I'm like, something I could have reached within 2 seconds. Get the hell out the way. You are not that much of a gentleman. Move.
He should have hopped that front part of the cart, you know, with a baby sit. He should have hopped in the front part of that and stood up and got it.
He probably was already sitting there, Jake.
And I was super
sitting there already.
Get out the way. Like, everything is not for you. Like, if I see somebody and they need me to lift a car off for them, I'm not going to do it because I don't have the ability. Like, you're short. You don't, and no one needs you to reach up and get them anything because obviously she couldn't reach it, neither could you.
Hold up. If he's sitting up in the front seat, who pushing the bill? How is he getting around?
That's all I have to say. No, I don't have anything against people. Jason. I'm actually not that far myself, but come on.
He's probably a little cart that should kick around with
his feet. So dirty.
So that's right, my seat. Do you guys have any experiences like that? Do you have any seats?
There was a story I came across recently out of Georgia where there was a little boy, 12 years old. It was a rapper. He went by the name Little C Note. Apparently, he was selling CDs in the mall, and he was arrested for disorderly conduct, and they're trying to charge this boy with a felony. Like, that's a bit much. I feel like that's very extreme. And you know how a lot of times these stories come out, and there's other things that we hear about it, and it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe we jump to conclusions. And I could be doing that right here. But from what I've heard of this story, like, that's a bit much. Like, I get it. He shouldn't have been selling CDs in the mall or whatever because, you know, it's not illegal.
Nobody goes to the mall.
But at the same time, like, come on. Like, I'm not, like, the come on. There's like, bigger crimes out there.
Arresting people. Like, that's ridiculous.
There's bigger crimes out there that we could be focusing on. I think, like, leave Little C Note alone.
Right. I agree. My seat's going to go to the people that are on Twitter still caping for this Bruno Mars and Cardi B song, Please Me. There's still this argument going around. And this guy made a whole video, just like we did, about how the song clearly sampled Sex Me. And you have all these people getting the technicalities. Well, sample is two different things, you know. You're not authorized and blah, 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 blah. And that's not the point. The point is that she's using her influence to sit here. I'm not saying that it was Cardi's fault and she had any idea what she was doing. But the fact that Cardi B and Bruno Mars are on the same exact song and they're two of the biggest artists in the world and they're promoting or they're paying homage to an R. Kelly record in the past. That's the problem. It's not the problem of whether or not R. Kelly or because he doesn't own anything. It's not the problem of his label getting paid for the Sex Me song. The problem is that when you listen to the song, you can hear it and it brings up imagery of R. Kelly. That's the problem. Whether or not it was released at a bad time, that wasn't Cardi or Bruno's fault. That's not my problem. The problem is that it was released at a very bad time, a week after the R. Kelly documentary, and now you're getting this feedback about it. So don't seem annoyed and act like people are just reaching. It's not a reach. It sounds just like the song. So if you listen to it, you can hear it. Stop acting like we're crazy because you don't want to believe that Cardi B made a mistake or her team made a mistake and put R. Kelly in the song when she shouldn't have did it. That's up to you. Whatever.
People are upset that Cardi B possibly made a mistake.
People are pissed. Like, I got into a lot of arguments over the past 3 days just over the fact that people just refuse to say, oh, that's not Sex Me. It's a 90s R&B tribute song. It has nothing to do with R. Kelly. Girl, yeah. So the chorus that Bruno Mars sings, please me, sounds just like Sex Me, and you don't want to get it. That's up to you. You can sound stupid if you want to, but I'm not going to deal with it anymore. My mind's made up. My mind's telling me no, and my body's telling me no, too.
So my seat is actually going to go to my doctor's office, and I've called them to let them know also the seat that they could take. A couple
you
weeks
be
ago,
nasty to your doctor's office. They're gonna say you got something that you don't got.
You don't kill them.
They're gonna give you something.
They're gonna tell don't have something that does.
Yeah,
making jokes on them. I already found the new doctor's office.
Jokes on you. They already gave it to you. They knew this was coming.
I fell ill a few weeks ago, and it became an entire ordeal. And the short story of it is, I ended up having to go to the hospital to get some nonsense that my doctor's office could have easily prescribed me. And I am livid. Like, I'm so livid. Because when I called them fools back, they're like, oh, yeah, well, we could have given you that here in the office. I'm like, so when I called y'all, when I realized what the issue was, they're like, oh, just wait a few days. Let the medicine get in your system. How stupid does that even sound?
Well, you're lying. Because if you were in the hospital, you would have posted that ban. You would have posted a lot.
No, ma'am.
You would have posted a hospital ban and said, pray for me. And then I'll be in the hospital bed. And they said, what's wrong?
Talk about those kind of people all the time. Definitely not posting no hospital bans.
So why had to go to the hospital instead? Your insurance ain't covered?
I'm sorry?
Why you had to go to the hospital instead? Your insurance ain't covered?
Well, my insurance... I have two separate insurances, and both my insurances would have covered the medicine. But I had to go to the hospital because my throat was so swollen, I couldn't even swallow. I was dehydrated. I couldn't eat or drink anything.
You'll tell us what you got. What's going on over there?
Yeah, what's going on with that throat?
And I had strep throat and a fever of 104 degrees.
Mm. Swollen.
And I had to go to the hospital for them to give me something that cut the inflammation in like 10 minutes. And the doctor's office is like, oh, yeah, well, we could have done that. I'm like, but... Huzzy, when I called you and told you what the issue was, y'all told me to wait a few days. Y'all just wanted me to die.
Well, I guess we can't count on you to save Flint.
God, I'm not the one.
All right, don't forget, like, subscribe, tell a friend, and comment. We appreciate everything that you guys are doing, all the 5-star ratings that we see on iTunes and all of the subscribers that we have on the podcast. We really appreciate all you guys. Invite a friend to listen to the show, as well as Dex's show on Mondays that drops called Industry Friends. This past week, he had on a friend of the show, Marion, and she talked about the foster care system, right, Dex?
Jason, you know, it really means a lot to me that you listen to the show. I really, really appreciate you more than ever. I really do. Great. I won't ignore your messages anymore. Next time you text me, I promise you I won't ignore it. I appreciate you.
I'm glad I took that. don't forget, hit us up on our Twitter and Instagram page. Well, is Twitter still suspended?
It's still suspended.
We've been Twitter accounts for a really long time.
We're going rogue.
You guys have a wonderful week. We will see you next week. Guys, we're already in March. This is crazy. A third of the way done. No, sorry, not a third. We are a quarter of the way done. Yeah, quarter. Quarter of the way done through the year already, guys. For Dex, for Ty, for Bill, this has been another edition of Bro Talk. We'll see you guys next week, and we out.